Okay. Perakov Teth. Good morning, everybody. And good Chaydesh. Today is Perakov Teth of the Gvuras Hashem. That's what we are up to. Chay Amar Hashem B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go to Paray and to say to Paray, so said Hashem, B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. So the Maral wants to describe, to explain this idea of B'ni B'chayri. What is the idea of B'ni B'chayri? And the Maral says that when we speak about the Bechor has two qualities. One quality relative to the father, and one quality relative to his siblings. The quality relative to his father is, as Yaakov Avinu said, Reuven Bechori Ata Koichi Vereishis Oini. You are my strength, you are my first power, which I've demonstrated. The Pasuk says about a Bechor, Ki Hu Reishis Oinoi. What it is that it demonstrates the power of the father, the koyach of the father, as an olul, as one who comes as a result of the father. Klal Yisrael is b'ni b'chayri because Klal Yisrael brings out, demonstrates, manifests the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. The same way the b'chayr is a offspring, a tailada, something which demonstrates the power of the father. Look what the father was able to create. And here, in this child, in this Bechor, you see the extending power of the father. So too, in Klal Yisrael, B'ni Bechori, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Klal Yisrael, we are his Bechor, it's not an expression of chronology, and it's not even an expression just of HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes the Jewish people and has a certain favoritism for the Jewish people, but that the Jewish people are those through whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be nigla, Kvayd Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be revealed in his world. That's the way the Maral understands the idea here expressed of B'ni B'chayri. The same way the Bechor brings out the power of the father as the, you know, beyond himself, so to Klal Yisrael brings out the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu beyond himself. That's number one. Number two, says the Maral, that the Bechor is unique in that he's separate. The Bechor is Kadosh. He's separate and apart from the other children. And in this way as well, Klal Yisrael, because we are Kedoshim, B'ni B'chayri, just like the B'chayri is Kadosh, and in that way different than the other children, so Klal Yisrael's Kedusha distinguishes them from the other children, from the other Umais. Those are the two sides. Says the Maral with this, a beautiful thing, a beautiful pshat. And the pshat which he says, which he uses, discusses with this, just expands upon, is to explain the idea that we find of the Mechiras HaBechira, where Yaakov and Esav were twins, and Yaakov bought the Bechira from Esav at that story with the Nezid Adashim. So we know that Rashi brings that what Chazal said, that in a certain sense Yaakov was all along entitled to the Bechira. Why? Because if you take two items and you put them into a shfeiferes, you put them into a tube, so what's the rule? LIFO, right? Last in, first out, right? That's the way it works. So if that's the case, and Yaakov Avinu came out second, he was the first one for the Yetzirah. He was the one who was created first, and therefore really the Bechira should have gone to Yaakov Avinu. But Esav came out first, so therefore Yaakov Avinu had to set the record straight by buying the Bechira to reaffirm where it was. You know, it's interesting, but was meant us. What does this really mean? And the Maral explains as follows. He says that it is the way of gilui ba'olam, of being revealed in the world, that which is less close to the Ribbono Shel Olam is less likely to be more quickly revealed within the world. Those things which are revealed, I'm going to read to you some of his words and then we'll explain. Ki kasher tavin v'teida, ki be'emes Yaakov hu b'chayr hu olu b'rishayn. When you understand and know that Yaakov in truth is the b'chayr and the first one to come from Yitzchak, rakl inin hisgalus ba'olam hativi lotzeis l'poyel Esav yaisa rishayn. Esav only came out first to be revealed in the natural world, in the depths, right inside, in the inner world of the conception. Yaakov Avinu was kaidem le'Esav. It's only in revelation in the outside world that Esav is kaidem le'Yaakov. And explains the Maral, ki adavar asher ukarev el ha'ola harishayna hu rachayk min ha'ola hisgalus ba'olam hativi. That which is closer to the original source is further away from expression and visibility in the natural world, which is the end. Asher hu rachayk min ha'ola, and that which starts off farther from the Allah, farther from the source, who correctly hiskalus b'olam hativi, that is closer to being revealed in the natural world. V'davar ze yadua, this is well known. V'lokacha yoyotze Esav lihiskalus b'olam hativi tchila, and that's why Esav was revealed in this olam hativi, in this natural world, before Yaakov. Esav was revealed in the natural world before Yaakov because Esav was closer to the natural world. Aval bemes Yaakov hu abachar shekach roi b'seder ha'olam ki hu ha'olu b'rishayna kasher tispayna b'ni ha'briya. So he says that's what he says. So again, when it comes to we can express this in different terms. But we know, as we've discussed many times, including quite recently here in the Gvuras Hashem, is that that which is more godly, that which is more divine, is more nistar, is more hidden, is more pnimi, is more internal. And Yaakov Avinu is, his greatness is internal. If we're going to follow this scheme of the idea was that he was formed first, but he only came out second, so his greatness is more internal than external. The Maral here doesn't use the expressions as much of panimi or not panimi. He does speak about the notion of hiskalus, but the idea of his again is hiskalus ba'ilam hativi. Something which is closer to the natural world will be more immediately ready to be revealed in the natural world. But because Yaakov Avinu, to a certain degree, is foreign to the natural world, so therefore Yaakov Avinu doesn't rush out into the natural world. Yaakov Avinu, we know Chazal say that they were arguing about Eilam Hazeh and Eilam Haba. They made a chalukah, they made a division, that Esav would have Eilam Hazeh and Yaakov Avinu would have Eilam Haba. You understand? That again speaks of this. Esav is much more in the world of nature, in the world of the physical world as it is, as it appears. And therefore, because that's the nature of Esav, he jumps out into the world, he's the Bechor in that world. Yaakov Avinu, his world is otherworldly, is of a different kind. His world is closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, closer to the Olul, to the source from which Yaakov Avinu comes. And therefore, because that's where he comes from, and that is his deepest connection, therefore, Yaakov Avinu's greatness, his bechayra, his priority, is seen there. And it is only follows through the Maral. And it is only, and he points out, by the way, as well, that it's the same of nations. Klal Yisrael was the later one to mature into a nation. Ammon and Moab and Edom seem to be very well established as nations on their lands before Klal Yisrael was established as a nation, before Klal Yisrael became established as such, because again, the greater you are, the more the gilui, the more it takes time for the person to develop within the world. The person doesn't jump out into the world naturally, lo'olam hativi, in this way. And so he says it was only kasher godlu, when they grew up, oz kibal Yaakov ma'alosai, then Yaakov Avinu showed his greatness, ve'esav espechisusai, and Esav his lowering. In other words, we saw that Yaakov Avinu grew into something, but Esav didn't grow into something. And therefore, that it's at that point that Yaakov Avinu takes the Bechaira from Esav. Right? Rashi says, once they grew up, you could see the difference. This one went to this, this one went to that. When they were small, you couldn't really tell the difference. But the idea is Esav is ready, so to speak, in that sense, from the get-go. What's the name Esav mean? Osui. Osui. Right? Because he came out just about as complete as he was going to be. He came out with hair, right, which was a sign of being finished, of being ready. Again, the Olam HaTivi invites him. The Olam HaTivi is ready. He jumps out into his galus b'Olam HaTivi, and there's not a tremendous amount of development which has to happen. But when you deal with something which comes from outside, from the Rabbeinu Shalom, from the Olam HaRuchni, and it has to develop in the Olam HaTivi, that's a whole different thing. The what?
Big avoida.
It's a big avoida. I like to point out that there are two stories of Bereshis. There's the story of Bereshis that we have in Perek Aleph of Bereshis, where it describes in the Sheshis Yimei Bereshis, the 6 days of creation, the creation of the natural world. And there is also the story of creation that's told in the second Perek of Bereshis, which is the creation of Adam HaRishon within Gan Eden. What's the difference between them? One of them is the creation of man in quote-unquote the real world, and one is the creation of man in the ideal world. In the creation of man in the real world, the first things which develop are all of the material world. There are 6 days of creation, and in the second part of the 6 day of creation, after the animals were created already, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates man. For the world to come, lidei gilui kaved shamayim, to the point of revelation of the presence of Hashem, is not immediate. It will happen gradually. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Adam HaRishon on the 6 day of creation? Pruvu, be fruitful and multiply, umilu asaretz, and fill the earth, v'kivshuha, and conquer it. The world started without Adam as its beginning, without Adam as its purpose, in a certain sense, in any revealed way. However, without any purpose in a revealed way, without Adam as the purpose in the revealed way, it was only later. Hello. I'm sorry, okay, call back, I'm sorry, I was expecting somebody else. Thank you. Sorry. Dr. Elman wanted to call in. Just have to call on this line so he doesn't make a mistake. Okay, so again, where are we holding? Okay. Hello, good morning. Okay.
Good morning.
Okay, so we're holding in Perek Chof Tes here, and we're just talking about B'nei B'chayri Yisrael, and the fact that Klal Yisrael is called the firstborn, and we contrasting it with the Yaakov and Esav situation, where Yaakov and Esav over there also we have, of course, Yaakov is the firstborn only after he buys it from Esav. But Chazal say that on the inside, Yaakov Avinu was first. Yaakov Avinu was Tipa Rishayna. He was formed first, but he only came out to the world second. So we're talking about this idea that the Maral teaches that something which is closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam is less immediately revealed in this world, and something which is closer to this world is more immediately revealed in this world. Esav is finished from the get-go physically, and he comes out immediately, comes out from the blocks, you know, immediately good and ready to go. But Yaakov Avinu process. So we're talking here about the Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, where in that first order of creation, it creates a world without Adam, without the presence of Hashem, without this Tzelem Elokim within the world, and Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. Right? After everything is there, and to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, v'kivshua, and conquer it. Because you have to win it over. It's a physical world, it's a material world that needs kvisha, that needs conquest. The same way we have it in the world, the way we have it, the natural physical world. A child, from the day that he comes out, he's ready to come out of his mother's stomach, he has a yetzer hara. However, it takes a long time, it takes till he's bar mitzvah, we say, for the yetzer hatov to enter him. Right? Matter, physicality, the material needs are immediately known in the physical world. The spiritual, the higher, mature, bigger vision kind of yearnings and decisions, that only a person can grow, can develop later, and then they do it al yedei through the vehicle which is called kevishas hayetzer, conquest, conquering, suppression, so to speak, of the drives in other directions. That's the vikivshua of that world. The other world of Gan Eden, what does it say there? It's a beautiful thing. If you look at the story of creation of Gan Eden, what's the first creation?
Adam.
Hashem first creates Adam. Right? Let me just get a chumash. I'll read it because you see the elegance of it. The first creation in Perek Beis, it says, there are no trees, there are no plants, chosia chasadeh, chalesev asadeh. And then it says, Vayitzer Hashem lekim asadam afar min Adam. Hashem created man, dust from the earth, and he blew into him a breath of life. Vayodam lenefesh chayah. And then it says, Hashem planted a garden in Eden, and he put there man. And he sprouted forth from the garden all of these magnificent trees. Right? For man. And then it describes the rivers of Eden, like the waters. Then it describes Hashem created all of the animals from the world, and he brought them to Adam. Man is first. And so what does it say when he put him in Gan Eden? He didn't have to conquer Gan Eden. It was La'avdo L'shamra, to preserve it. We know that in the case of Gan Eden, Adam Arishain started off perfect, and the problem was he couldn't blow it. And excuse the expression, so to speak, he blew it. Right? He ate from that and he forsook, he forfeited his position, his special position in the world. Whereas what happens afterwards is Yetzer Lev Adam Ramin Urav, you start the other way around. You start inferior and you have to make it great. And that's the difficulty. In our world as a material, Gan Eden is like Yaakov Avinu Zaylam Haba. Gan Eden is that world which is not the material world, the world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is. There, you come out right away ready. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Adam eats from the Eitz Hadas and is going to be banished from Gan Eden, then what happens? And Hashem tells Chava, you know, you're going to have a long process till this child is going to be a human being. You have this whole thing called Tzar Gidol Banim, till he's going to be something. Because he has to build, he has to grow it. It's a material world. He's born as a physical creature in a material world. And for the spirit and the maturity of a human being to come and emerge in him is going to be a process. Is going to be a process. Says the Maharal, B'ni Bechair Yisrael, Kal Yisrael is the Bechair of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the Bechair of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that, of course, we demonstrate the presence of Hashem in the world. As he said, the same way a Bechair is the demonstration of the presence of the Father, the power of the Father. Look at this child that he created. If we are the Bechair of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we have to demonstrate, look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And that's not done by our physical presence alone. If that would be the case, we wouldn't be Bechairei. There were other nations that matured and developed before we did. We're the late bloomers, relatively speaking, to the Shivim Umais, to the 70 nations of the world. However, we are the ones who will first reveal the presence of Hashem, the spiritual development of the people that show that sign. In that way, we are distinct from the Umais Olam. And in that way, we show our kurva, our closeness to the Allah, to the Kaz, to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and that is the role, that is the idea of B'ni B'chairi Yisrael. I would like to speak about the fact, excuse me for one second, Baruch ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvarei. There's an expression B'ni b'chayri Yisrael, and there's an expression Bonim atem l'Hashem l'Ekechem. In Sefer Dvarim it says Bonim atem l'Hashem l'Ekechem. What do you think about those two psukim? How do they relate? If you think about it, they're a contradiction. They may be a contradiction. Why? Because Banim Atem Hashem Lekechem implies that you and you alone are Hashem's children. And if you think that I'm incorrect, look in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah Pirkei Avos starts off, Rabbi Akiva teaches, I think in Perek Gimel, that he says that Chaviv Adam, man is precious, that he's created B'Tzelem Elokim. And then it goes on and says that Yisrael is precious because they are called Hashem's children, as it says Banim Atem Hashem Lekechem. Which clearly, as opposed to Tzelem Elokim, which the Mishnah says applies to all of man, but Banim applies only to Yisrael. B'ni B'chayri implies that we are the first born child, we're the first of many. How do you reconcile those two things? How do you reconcile those two things? So, it's a beautiful thing. The Rashi answers the question without asking the question. Why? Because in Kriya Shema, Rashi says, on the Pasuk Vishinantam Luvanecha, you should teach it to your sons. So everybody knows. What does Rashi say? Vishinantam Luvanecha refers to Talmidim, to your students. Right? Your students are considered like your children. So Vishinantam Luvanecha, Elu HaTalmidim. But Rashi brings a Raya. What's Rashi's Raya that your children, that your students are called your children? It says Rashi because it says, Bonim Atem Hashem Lekechem. What's that mean? Because Bonim Atem Hashem Lekechem is not we are Hashem's children because Hashem created us, in which case all the nations of the world would be the children of Hashem. We are children of Hashem because HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us the Torah. At Har Sinai we became Bonim LaHashem Bonim Talmidim. And lo osa chen l'chol goyim mishpatim val yidoum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do that to anybody else. So, go back to the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. Adam is precious, he's created b'tzelem elokim. Yisrael is precious because we are called banim, only us. And what's the third line in the Mishnah? And Yisrael are precious because to us was given Kli Chemda, the Torah. That's what's special about Klal Yisrael, and that's why we're banim. Banim means Talmidim. Banim means Talmidim. And that's the idea that, well, what do you mean? It doesn't mean Bonim, we weren't created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, Yitzias Mitzrayim, we're created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're his favorite son. We're B'ni B'chayri, one amongst many. But when Matan Torah came, Matan Torah really does what the Maral speaks about here. Matan Torah is when we become B'nai Das, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just give us maturity, he gives us Das Elohim. That's when we become really having the opportunity of spiritual maturity and development. Then we become the soul banim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that sense it becomes so stark, the difference between Klal Yisrael and everybody else. Okay, so that's Nekuda number one of the Maral here in B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. We are different than everybody else, and we are the ones to demonstrate the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the world. The next piece of the Maral, interestingly, is related to something that we discussed a little bit over Shabbos, especially at Shalosh Shuas. What is discussed next in the Maral is the next portion where Moshe Rabbeinu heads off to Mitzrayim. And he says he took his wife and his sons and he had them ride ala chamor, on the donkey. Not on a donkey, but on the donkey. So the, you know, Chazal discussed this idea of this donkey in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and they say, first of all, it wasn't just any donkey, it was, you know, Chazal, he didn't have a camel, you know, by Rivka it says the camels, you know, so what's going on? So he says, so it says that this was the chamar that Avraham Avinu rode on, this is the chamar that Moshe Rabbeinu rode on, and that's the chamar that the Melech HaMashiach will ride on, Ani Varech Val Chamar. And this chamar was created Be'erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos, it was created on Friday afternoon at twilight of the Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. So explains the Maral, what does this mean? And by the way, the Maral, very interesting, you know, through this section, is not interested in ascribing any special powers to this chamar. He writes specifically, there was nothing, no special powers that this chamar had. It wasn't like an intelligent chamar. This is not like the piha asain of Bilam or something like that. It's a chamar. And he even shies away from necessarily believing or saying that this was a, you know, a 2,500-year-old donkey, right, at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's still, you know, aging someplace in some senior citizens community waiting for the Melech HaMashiach in order to be able to come. That's
not the case.
Right? The Maral Kedarkoi likes to see what Chazal are speaking about here is not necessarily telling a story of actuals, but rather telling a story of principles, of, you know, conceptual relationships. So what is it? What's the nature of this? Says the Maral, Kiyadua, as is known, he says that Chamer is from the Lashon of Chamer. Chamer is physicality, basic, simple physicality. And the Reichev, the one who rides on the Chamer, the one who rides upon it is above it. You know, he's on top of it. He's not connected to it. He's instead above it and controlling it. And the koyach, the power which we're dealing with here, is the power of the one who is above physicality. Moshe Rabbeinu was reichev al hachamer because he was reichev al hachamer. And Maral says that's the concept of these three personalities. There is Avram Avinu, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, He took them outside. So he took him outside. What does that mean? He took him outside. He took him outside of the constellations. He took him outside of the natural world. He said, "Go look down at the Kechavim. Look down at the stars. You are not subject to it. You are not stuck within the material world. You are Reichev al hachamer." Moshe Rabbeinu, the same thing. It says, "Nete es yadcha al hashamayim, nete yadcha al hashamayim." Extend, stretch out your hand over the heavens. That's what it sounds like. Now, of course, the way we picture it is Moshe Rabbeinu, right, with his talus on, just like that drawing, that painting over there, goes outside and he raises up his hands to the heavens. But that's not what it says. It says, "Extend your hands al hashamayim." So Chazal tell us the same thing. Melamed, Medrash Rabba, and Shmois, Shigbiya es Moshe lamala mishamayim. He lifted up Moshe above the heavens. Again, that's the nature of it. And of course, with the Melech HaMashiach, we will have the same thing, that he also is transcending the physicality that we know of within the world. Says the Maral, that's the idea of Reichev al Hachamayr. Hachamer, on that physicality. And says Maral beautifully, he says that's the idea that this Chamer was created on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashemashos. What's the idea of the Asara Dvorim that are listed in Pirkei Avos that are created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashemashos? It says Erev Shabbos Bein Hashemashos is when physical creation within the physical world has to stop. Because Bein Hashemashos at twilight, human beings already have to suspect that it is Shabbos, and so they're not really able to create anymore. That's when normal physical human creativity stops. That's when the things which are subject to human hands stop. Bein Hashemashos, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu also rests on Shabbos, right? So Hashem can't create either on Shabbos, but there's an area in time when only Hashem can create and not man.
It's
And that is Erev Shabbos Vein HaShemoshos. What's that? It's to some degree Nishtahi Nishtaher, but it's really more of a suffix. For us, we view it as Nishtahi Nishtaher. We create it as a suffix. But in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Chazal say, Vaychal Elohim Bayom HaShvi'i Melachtei Asher Asa, Hashem finished on the seventh day his work which he did. What do you mean? How does he finish on the seventh day? He's not supposed to work on the seventh day. So one is that on the seventh day he created rest. Right? So that's how Hashem finished the creation on the seventh day. But the other is that when the seventh day came, he finished. By normal people, you don't finish on the seventh day. You finish with a buffer. You finish sometime on the sixth, towards the end of the sixth day. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu only finished on the seventh day because that was the that's the Rabbi Nishlam. He's Yedeya Itavuragov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the moment. But again, that's a frame of time where only Hashem can create and man cannot create. The Sheishes Yimei Bereishis, during week two, man went ahead and was supposed to do all the things, right? We've pointed out before that the same way Hashem created light on the first day, when on Motzeh Shabbos, what do? To remember what Adam HaRishon did on the first Motzeh Shabbos, we create light. We strike a match and we create a fire to make a bracha of Bairei Ma'irei Ha'esh. We can create in those frames that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates. However, Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemoshos, we cannot create. We have to have stopped working. Only Hashem can create. Says the Maral. Maral teaches this in Pirkei Avos and the Asar Dvar Mishnei Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemoshos. He refers to it in several places, including, of course, right here where we're learning that Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemoshos, that's why we say that those 10 things were created that demonstrate the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the world. The piha asoim, the piha be'er, the all the different things that the Mishnah lists there, which are supernatural phenomena as that exist in the world. That's the window of Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemoshos. Hashem created a world with laws of nature, but he also created his presence that can transcend those laws of nature. And the signals, the poster children of that koyach are the Asara Dvarim, the 10 things which are created in the Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemoshos. Avram Avinu, the fact that he had a child was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Avram Avinu into that world of Bein HaShemoshos. Things which, so to speak, on some level exist within the physical world, but can only be a result of something which is the Ribbono Shel Olam, not man. Moshe Rabbeinu was being charged here to do the same thing. When Moshe Rabbeinu was in Mitzrayim the first time, when he was in Midian, Moshe Rabbeinu did lots of stuff. He was a sar v'shofet, so to speak, self-appointed. But Moshe Rabbeinu did nothing miraculous. Right? His power over the world was very limited. He beat up the Egyptian and so on and so forth. See, okay, so Chazal say, Hargoy b'shem ha-mefeirash. Right? Hargeni ato oimer kasher haragta samitzri. He killed him also with words, with a superpower. Not with just regular, physically beating him and, knocking him down. So Hargeni ato oimer. But by and large, we don't find the Eisei Sumaisim. That's a hidden thing that we attribute there to Moshe Rabbeinu. What's going to emerge is the Yod HaChazaka that Moshe Rabbeinu is praised for at the very end of the Torah, the unparalleled ability to overcome nature. That starts here with this expression, Vayarkiveyu al HaChamor. And that Chamor is the Chamor of Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemoshos because it is that which demonstrates the ability of people who are given this hand of bringing the presence of Hashem, what could only be the presence of Hashem, within the world. That's the essential way, the way the Maral says it. Maral says this idea. He says that he goes on, and he says, why was it Dafka Chamor? I understand that the name Chamor is because it's Chaymer, but the name Chamor is chosen for the Chamor for a reason. Remember, this is Lashon HaKodesh. Nefesh Chaya Hu Shemai was named according to its nature. And the Maral says that a donkey is extremely, extremely pashut. Chamer is pshitus, and it's the idea is it's just a dumb animal. That's really what they do. That's why people get called that way. People get an insult which is hurled at people is chamor, or whatever choice words would be chosen in English for that kind of a thing, right? It's an epithet. It's an insult, and it has ancient history. I happened to be looking because we discussed it. I asked in the Friday night question. I happened to be looking in the encyclopedia about chamor, about donkeys, and it's like mamash an age old tradition. It's not like some American thing or some Israeli thing. Right? It's an age old tradition that the donkey was considered just a dumb animal. Right? You put the thing on it. It's like a truck, and it just goes. It doesn't show it. Right? A horse. People, there's such a thing as admiring a horse. A horse, besides the fact that it can be a very graceful creature, but how it runs and how, I remember the first time I went riding on a horse, I was just like petrified that the horse was going to on a trail through a forest. Like, why is I don't know how to steer this thing. Why isn't he going to run into the tree? But you know what? Those reins are just when you want to move him someplace else. But the horse has a mind of his own, right? It's a smart, it's a developed, it's a graceful, it's a beautiful creature. I don't know that a donkey would walk into a tree. Don't get me wrong, but the thing is that the donkey plods. The donkey just it's there. It's right. When the Gemara uses even the expression of a Talmud Chacham Shein Baidas, it's a chamor naisei svarim, a donkey carrying books. That's the thing. I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure if it's Loshon HaGemara, but it's a Loshon which we find. But the donkey, says the Maral, is pshitus. It's the most simple in physicality. Chaimer is raw matter, completely undeveloped. Once you're dealing with tsura, once you're dealing with developing matter, you're already talking about something where you're already refining, you're making it better, you're making it greater, you're already putting in something of the intelligence of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed us, something of the Tzelem Elokim is already being put into it already. The Chamor is raw, basic physicality, the antithesis of Seichel. And he was Reichev, in that sense, ala chamor. We were talking about yesterday a little bit, was that it's an interesting thing. Last year in Baltimore, we had a Pidyon Peter Chamor. Right? Anybody go to the Pidyon Peter Chamor in Baltimore? Right, there was a Pidyon Peter Chamor. It's like an unbelievable thing, Shechyonu. Right? Whoever would think of a Pidyon Peter Chamor, who would have it? So some guy went and he bought a donkey in Pennsylvania and was able to fulfill the mitzvah of Pidyon Peter Chamor. And it was beautiful, very, very nice, very interesting thing to see. Imagine, however, if there was a din, it's only Behemoth Tmeya on which there's a mitzvah of Pidyon. There's a mitzvah of Kedushas Bechor. But Kedushas Bechor applies to people and to kosher animals, with one exception, and that's the Chamor. Why the Chamor? Because the Chamor, it says, Rashi brings, the Gemara Bechoris, the Chamor helped us carry our spoils out of Mitzrayim. No Jew left Mitzrayim without 10 donkeys loaded down with goods. I think that's the language of the Gemara. Now, there's another animal that helped us out of Mitzrayim. What's that? The dog. Imagine if, right, it says the dog, that's why in last week's Parsha, we say that you show the treifa, throw the treifa, lakel sashlichu nasei. Right? We pointed out, by the way, a very interesting thing. You know where it says that? It says that right after the Parsha of Bechor, it says, Bechor banecha titen li, kein tase l'shecha, l'tzeinecha, shivasim yeimei, meshmeni avhali yiratzeh, right? Which is the mitzvah of Bechor Adam, of Bechor Behema Tahira, and then it skips Bechor Behema Tmeya and says, lakel tashlichu nasei. Which is fascinating, right? It's the other reward for the other Behemoth Tmeya that was employed in Mitzrayim. Like, why does it do that? And imagine if there was a mitzvah of Pidyon HaKelev or Peter Kelev. We'd have it all the time. It's especially lately, all these, right, from people, it's like a pound over here, you know. So what's going on? It will be a very, very normal thing to happen, but they didn't do that to the dog. There's a mitzvah. What's the difference? So we're not going to go into everything which we discussed. We actually talked about something we learned in the Be'er HaGoel and the Maral in Be'er Hei, Be'er Chamishi, where he speaks about the dogs, where the Gemara says that dogs recognize the Malach HaMavis. When the Malach HaMavis is around, you hear dogs barking. When you hear dogs yelping with joy, it's because Elio Hanavi is coming. So it speaks about how is he supposed to know. But the idea we explained is that the chamor is pshitus, the chamor is simplicity, and so the mitzvah of the chamor is peterechem, when it's born. When a baby is born, it's at its simplest, it's at its most basic, it's at its most chumriistic. So there, where you speak about the chamor somehow having its kedusha, it makes sense that it's the kedusha of peter rechem, right? Hevel pm shel tinoikei shel beis rabim shein ben chet. You know, in a certain sense, the opposite. You know, the simplicity, the lack of complexity, which we say in a complimentary way about children, that they're not sullied yet by sin, by some of the more complex desires for sin that human beings struggle with. However, on the other hand, again, it's simplicity. That's when it is. The mitzvah of Bakelev Tashlichon, I say, is when it comes to the kind of food you eat to grow, to develop. Right? That's why we have to be very careful, as Rashi and Rahman explained in last week's Parsha. Anshei Kodesh Tiyunli, you know, you have to develop into great spiritual people, so therefore you have to be careful. Basar Basoda, Trefa Leisechelu, you can't eat that stuff. Right? The dog is not Poshut. The dog is sophisticated, considered to be much more sophisticated. However, its sophistication comes, it doesn't maybe come from a holy place, it comes from an unholy place. That's the way the Maral explains why the dog is able to sense the Malach HaMavis and Elio HaNavi, not because it is so spiritually great, but because in fact it comes from an unholy place. It's like a person, as we, the example we gave when we explained it was that there's you can give people a cake, two people, and both of them will be able to tell you in a second that there are some nuts in the cake. One of those people is a gourmet, and the other one of those person is a person who's allergic to nuts. Right? There are two people who are going to be able to sense immediately that the Malach HaMavis is here or Elio HaNavi is here, and one is a person with tremendous spiritual sensitivity, and the other one is a person who's allergic. Right? The kelev is that, but the kelev is sophistication, is development. And therefore, what we speak about the kelev is what you feed it, how you grow it, how you make it bigger and wiser, so to speak. There, that's where its din is. The chamor is poshut. It's the baby. It's the simple. And we have to understand, again, now taking a step back from it, we're talking about the kedusha of a baby, but taking a step back from it, that which is raw and undeveloped is most physical. And that's the representation of physicality, is pure, unformed chaymer. Tayu vavayu, and when vayarkivei alachamer, is that this person is going to be the master of all physicality. The yara chazok of Moshe Rabbeinu, the power of the Melech HaMashiach, Avram Avinu, who's the father of all of this, who defies nature, right, in having a child and producing and generating Am Yisrael, this is all overcoming and overwhelming the chaymer, the physicality. Okay. Very good.
I want to start, why is the Malach HaMashiach going to be assigned to the Malach HaMashiach? Because if you ever rode a donkey, I push, but it starts and stops, and it's frustrating. It's not a straight line.
Uh-huh. And it's stubborn mule.
It's very stubborn. It's very unpredictable. So, that's how we're going to
Okay. Very good.